Today's daf is daf Tzadi Ches. This is the last daf of the 11th parak of Maseches Zvachim, and we'll probably cut it there. We'll probably just finish the 11th parak, and we'll save the Mishnah in the beginning of the 12th parak for tomorrow. So today we're going to talk about the majority of the, at least the first half of the daf, is about the pasuk that we quoted in the end of yesterday's shiur. Pasuk says, Zos HaTorah La'ola, v'la mincha, v'la chatas, v'la asham, v'la miluim, v'la zevach hashlamim. So it mentions all of these karbanos in the same pasuk, seemingly linking the karbanos to each other. So the Gemara is trying to figure out, what does each karban teach us about the other karbanos? So that's going to be the first topic that we're going to tackle in the daf. That's pretty much the entire Amud Aleph. What does each karban teach us about the other karbanos? In what way are they similar to each other? That one is a unique element that teaches, that's Megala al Kulam. Then we're going to discuss, starting at the very bottom of Amud Aleph, whether kibbutz is required if there are two types of dam that are on the beged. Meaning, let's say dam chatas is what requires kibbutz. What if there's some dam chatas and also dam ola? You know, so does that require kibbutz? Does it depend which one's on top, which one's on the bottom? Meaning, if the stain is on the same exact spot, right? And then we're going to discuss the role of stains as a chatzitza for tevila. Meaning, we're not used to the notion, but tevilas begadim, when you have to observe to mentara, is a very, very common thing. Just like humans go to the mikveh and we bring kelim to the mikveh, so clothing is kelim also. They would have to do tevila of kelim. So what counts as a chatzitza on a beged? So it's pretty much the same rules for chatzitza of kelim and for chatzitza of humans. You have the dinim of chatzitza of begadim. So now, says the Gemara, we left off at the word mincha. Five lines from the bottom of the page. Mincha. So the Gemara discusses, what do we learn from the word mincha in the pasuk? Meaning that when we're linking all these karbanos to each other, in what sense does mincha, is mincha megala on the rest of them? So ma mincha in nechalas al zichri kuna, av kalei nechal al zichri kuna. Just like korban mincha is only eaten by male kohanim, so too all the karbanos are only eaten by male kohanim. Mayhi, so which karbanos do we learn from mincha need to be eaten only by male kohanim? Well, ichatos v'asham, if it's coming to tell me that korban chatos and asham are only by zichri kuna, the pasuk says explicitly by chatos v'asham, kol zachar b'kohanim yochlenu. And by Chatas it says Kol Zachar B'Kohanim Yochal Osa. It's a similar enough psukim that the Gemara doesn't feel the need to quote both of them, but it says Befeirush in both psukim by Chatas and by Asham that it needs to be eaten by male Kohanim. V'ish Shalmit Tzibur. And if we learn from Mincha to Shalmit Tzibur that Shalmit Tzibur eaten by Zechrei Kuna, so Shalmit Tzibur also doesn't need to be learned from Mincha, because Meiri Buya Dekrasi, we can learn it from the Riboy of the pasuk that it says by the Matnas Kuna Bakodesh Hakadoshim Tochlenu Kol Zachar Yochal Oso. So we darsh from Oso, from Yochal Oso, Liman al Shalmit Tzibur She'en Nechal and Elul Zichrei Kuna, that Shalmit Tzibur can only be eaten by Zichrei Kuna. So which carbon are we deriving from Mincha that can only be eaten by Zichrei Kuna? Right, Shalmit Yachin, it's not true at all. They're not eaten by Zichrei, they're eaten by the Bailim, right? Carbon Shlamim. But Shalmit Tzibur is only in Bezichri Kuna. So the Gemara says, you're right. We learn from Mincha that Shalmit Tzibur it is Shalmit Tzibur that we learn from Mincha are not eaten by anybody but the Zichri Kuna. Ah, you told me that we already know that because we have the Pasuk Yochal Oso to teach me that Shalmit Tzibur only in Bezichri Kuna. Tanoihi. It's a machlokas Tanoim where we learn this din by Shalmit Tzibur. Ika tenafka lemehacha, Ika tenafka lemehacha. There's some of the Tanaim learn that Shalmit Tzibur only eaten by male kohanim from the Hekesh to Mincha, and others learn it from the Pasuk Yochal Oso. There's a third sheet that learns it from Vasisim series in Echad Chatas or Shnei Kvas Meishana Lezevach Shlamim, that Shalmit Tzibur compared to Lechatas, which is only eaten by Zichrei Kuna, but that's not in the Brisa, so the Gemara doesn't quote that. That's what Tosus points out over here, right? Tosus on top tells us, Odish Tanashlishi, Parakezu Mekom, and there is a third sheet of how we know that Shalmit Tzibur only eaten by Zichrei Kuna, but it wasn't mentioned in the Brisa, so we don't feel the need to bring up every sheet over here. We're just trying to show how the Psukim, how this Pasuk links the karbanos to each other. So now we move on to the next karbon, chatos. What do we have for chatos? Ma chatos mekadeshes bevalua. I've called mekadeshes bevalua. Just like a chatos is mekadesh whatever touches it, like we discussed yesterday, so too all karbanos are mekadesh the basar that absorbs from them, that any basar that absorbs any flavor from any other karbon will also become like that karbon. And this is true even by a korban milcha. Kol asher yigah behem yikdash. We're soon going to discuss that. The reason Tana the Brisa learns this din from chatos and not from mincha, Rashi explains, because mincha we wouldn't been able to learn from, because you could say, yeah, mincha, the Gemara is going to identify mincha as a unique characteristic. It's racha bivliya, it's soft, it's made up, it's not basar, it's not a solid piece. A mincha is flour that's mixed together with oil and whatever, so it's a totally different consistency, so one would not have necessarily applied this din of being baleya from a mincha to being baleya from a piece of meat. So we use chatos as the paradigm for this notion that when it's baleya, it becomes like it. Asham, and what do we learn from Asham? Ma Asham ein shvir v'shulya kadosh bo, just like in Asham, the shvir and the shulya. The shvir is the skin of the fetus, of the vlad, and the shulya is the sack that the vlad is in. So just like by the Asham, there's no kedusha to the shvir and the shulya. How do I know there's no kedusha to the shvir and the shulya of an Asham? Because an Asham never has a shvir and a shulya. An Asham can only be a zachar. It can't be in the cave. So you can't say there is no shvir and shulya. So the chelev and the shteya kleios of the vlad are not nikrav, because there is no vlad. So af kol ein shvir v'shulya kadosh bo. So too by korbanos chatos and shlamin, which can be brought from the nekeva. So the chelev and the shteya kleios of the vlad are not nikrav on the mizbeach. That's what we learn from Asham. So says Mar Kasavar, in order to make this drasha, what you have to hold is that vlados kashim b'aviyasa nehim kadoshim, that vlados that are born from karbanos are not kadosh b'mei imam, they're only kadosh at birth, they're only kadosh not at conception, they only become kadosh when they emerge from the mother, and that's what we learn, and therefore we're learning that din from Asham, that the kadusha doesn't apply to the fetus. And another thing we see that we're assuming in this whole limud is v'dan in afshar mishe'i afshar, that you're able to learn a halacha from a situation where something's possible, from a situation to a situation where something's possible, from a situation where something's not possible. By the Asham, it's not possible to have a fetus. By Yishlamim, it is possible, and yet we're still willing to apply one halacha to the other. So that's a debate throughout Shas, whether dan in afshar mishe'i afshar or rein dan in afshar mishe'i afshar. This Talmud's taking sides. Then we said miluim. Miluim is the korbanos that they brought during the 7 days of the Shivas Yimei Miluim. So ma miluim osrei and besreifa, just like the korbanos of miluim, whatever was left over from the basra of the korban was burnt, because the pasuk says in Shmos Perek Chavtes, v'mivaser mibsara miluim min alechem ad aboker v'sarafta esanos v'esh, it's perish in the Torah that you burn it. Ve'ein balei chayim b'mosrehen, and there are no balei chayim amongst those leftovers that were to be burnt, because there was no balei chayim left over by the miluim. They were karbanos tzibur, and they never had to exchange them for other animals. There was never meaning what happens. And normally, you'll have balei chayim that are mosar that are left over if you lost an animal and you had to replace it with another one, and then you found the original. So that's how you have extras that are still balei chayim. But it just didn't happen in the Shivas Yimei Miluim. They never lost any of them. So afkol mosrei mosrei. So too every korban, whatever's left over from the basra of any korban is burnt. Vein balei chayim b'mosrein. And if you have balei chayim left over, like a yachid is mafresh a korban lachrayus, if he loses one korban, he's mischaper with the other one, or he's mafresh a korban, he loses the korban, he brings another korban, so the first korban is then found, so that korban is nosar. So the halach is, it's not b'sreifa. That's the din of Ein Mosrein. The Sreifa. Now, Luchora, the Kasha is asked by the Briska Rav in the name of his father, in the name of Rav Chaim, that why do we need a pasuk to tell me that there's no Sir Balei Chaim the Sreifa? Balei Chaim are not Roy L'Achila, so it's not Shaykh Din Nosar. The Din Nosar is that you leave something beyond the Zman Achila for it. So it is a little bit strange that we need a pasuk to tell me that there's no din of balei chayim. There's no din of nosar on balei chayim. It was never roi l'achila if it's balei chayim. I didn't see an answer to that question, but the kasha is there. Okay, shlamim. Then the pasuk said shlamim. What do we learn from shlamim to other korbanos? So mash shlamim mefaglin umispaglin. I've called mefaglin umispaglin. What does that mean? So Rashi types it as follows.
just like a korban shlamim. If you have a machshava during one of the avodos that you want to eat the basar liachar zmano, so the korban becomes pigul, that's mifaglin, umispaglin, and the nechasin that come along with the korban also become pigul, so too every korban, if you have a machshava to eat it liachar zman, it's mifagel, and the nesachim that come with it are also mispagel. That's how Rashi understands. Tosos in Dibra Maskel Mifaglin. Tosos raises the following issue. He says that Rashi is in Dibra Maskel Mashlam Mifaglin. Is that the one? Yeah, that Tosos raises the following issue, that Rashi is dochik himself. He says the real pshat is that the dam is mefagel the basar, and the basar is mispagel. The Kachidam says Rashi holds that the lashon of mefaglin sounds like it's mefagel other things that are not part of the etzim karban. So Tosos just says, no, it's simply the two parts of the karban, the dam and the basar, that having machshava during the avodah sadam is going to be mefagel the basar, even though you're not having the machshava during doing anything to the basar. That's how Tosos seems to understand. Okay, so that's the right. Is Tosos in the last line of Dibra Maskel Ma'al Bechinam Dachak Tav Masel Leimer Shadam Mefagel Es Abasar Vabasar Atzmo Mispagel. He doesn't know why Rashi has to stretch it to say that it's about the Nesachim. So that might be the answer, that Rashi thinks that Mispagel means that it's something outside of the Etzem HaKarba. So that might be the why Rashi disagrees with Tosos. Okay, Masnis Satanam Shvedra Vekiva. In a Bryson we say in the name of Rabbi Kiva, when the pasuk says Bezos Atarit, says Mincha Ma Mincha Mekadeshes Pavlua Avkal Mekadeshes Pavlua. A different thing to learn from Mincha. Where do we learn from Mincha earlier? So we said that we learned from Mincha that it's only eaten by Zichrei Kohuna, that Shalmei Tzibur are also only eaten by Zichrei Kohuna. Now we have a different limud, that just like a Mincha is Mekadesh, whatever touches it to be as holy as it. It says Kol Ashiga Behem Yikdosh. So to every karban that's Boleya from Basar of another karban is Mekadesh the Basar to be like it. Well, wait a second. Didn't we learn that din from Chatas? So says Maria, we needed to tell me that din both by Mincha and by Chatas. Diashmin Mincha, if the Torah only were to tell me this din, that whatever touches it and is Boleah from it becomes it by Mincha, I would have said the idea de Rekicha Mibala, that Mincha, its consistency lends itself to be Boleah, because it's soft, it's flour, it's oil, so it's Boleah. Aval, but when you come to meat, chatas emalah, where meat of a korban chatas, I would have said that the tam of a chatas doesn't get nivla in the basar that touches it. Yesh min chatas, and if it only would have told me about chatas, I would have said it's only by chatas that it's boleya to the other piece, mishum de karir, because it's a fatty piece of meat. Aval mincha emalah, but by mincha, I would have said that you don't have this din, that if it touches something else, then it becomes like it. So tricha, that's why I need both, because they're so different in their consistency that one could have made a reasonable argument each way that only one is Balea and not the other. Then we said another limud from Chatas. Chatas, ma chatas ein ba'al menachulin u'bayom u'viyadami ha'imanis. Just like chatas, you can't use ma'aser sheni money to buy a korban chatas. You can use ma'aser sheni money to buy a korban shlamim of the yachid, right? Because you're allowed to use ma'aser sheni money to buy any korban that you're going to eat. Ma'aser sheni money has to be used for something that you're gonna eat. Right? Shlamim nedava, you can use it. It's not a chiv. But a chatas, which is a chiv, you certainly can't use ma'aser sheni money to buy that which is a chiv of a chatas, and you can't and see it by zichrei kohuna. So and ubayom, a chatas is only brought. It's not brought balayla. That we know, it says by Par Yom HaKippurim, it says ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem, and uviyodo yamanis, and you only got to do all the avodah daf with your right hand, not with your left hand. Zavkal, so to every other karban, ein ba'al menachulin, it can't be used. You can't use ma'aser sheni money. Ubayom, it's got to be daytime. Uviyodo yamanis, and it's got to be with your right hand. Bechatas minalan, how do I buy a korban bechatas that you can't use ma'aser sheni money? So I'm Rav Chista, Amar Krav, the Hikrav Aaron as parachatas asher lo, mishalov the lo mishal tzibur. That it had to be his own and it couldn't come from communal money, but also the lo mishal ma'aser. It had to be his own and not ma'aser sheni money. That's an interesting limud, mishalov the lo mishal ma'aser. Because there is a famous machlokas tonight, ma'aser sheni, what is it? Is it mamon kavala or is it mamon hedyot, meaning if it's mamon hedyot, it is yours, it belongs to you, nafkamina lekadesh ba'isha, and it's yours, right? Meaning what we know for sure from the Torah itself is that you're allowed to use ma'aser sheni money to buy food that you're going to eat, but can only be eaten in your shalayim. So those are two points of view. One point of view is that fundamentally it's God's, it's not yours, you're not allowed to have it. But Hakadosh Baruch Hu is so nice, he's willing to share it with you in your shalayim, in his house, you know, in his backyard. The other way to view it is, no, it's yours, but just like you have certain restrictions on all of your things, you're not allowed to eat your food on Yom Kippur, so you're allowed to eat it the rest of the year. So too, there's a restriction over here when it comes to Ma'aser Sheni, that you have to only eat it in this location, in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara wonders that the Brisa says that we're only makar b'yom, and that the avodah is with the right hand, that's derived from Chatos. So says Gemara, b'yom, we learn from the Hekesh to Chatos. Wait, is that really where we learn it from? Mi b'yom tzavosa nafka. At the end of the parasha, the Kabbalah says b'yom tzavosa. So that goes in all the Kabbalahs. So kedinas. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what? The din of b'yom, we don't really learn from Chatos. But you know, these things just sort of go together. B'yom, you know, I guess in b'menachul b'yom b'yoda imanis. So we mentioned b'yom. So the Gemara b'yoda imanis. The idea that you have to use your right hand, that we also know from somewhere else. Whenever the Torah uses the term etzba and the term kuhuna, it always means the right hand. Right? And the Gemara assumes that if the Torah says one or the other, either etzba at this point in the Gemara, either etzba or kuhuna in the parsha, that it means the right hand. This is derived from Mitzorah. By Mitzorah of an Ani, it says etzba and kuhuna, and it says the tabala kohenes, it's ba'o hayimanis. It's explicit that it's his right hand. So you see that whenever it's etzba or kohen, we use the right hand. So since all karbanos, it says kohen by every karban, so it has either etzba or kuhuna, namely kuhuna, by every karban, so it's always the right hand. So it says mar kedinas, but you're right, this name is also unnecessary to learn from Chatas. V'yibay same, or maybe no, maybe it is necessary. Some look, Rabbi Shimon Damar etzba lo baya kuhuna, kuhuna baya etzba. Now whenever the Torah says etzba, even if it doesn't say kohen, it needs to be with the right hand. But whenever it says kohen, it still has to say etzba to know that it's got to be done with the right hand. So by every korban it says kuhuna without the word etzba. So that's what we need to learn, that you need yamin from the hekesh techatas, and not from the fact that it says kuhuna. So now the Gemara is Asham. What do we learn from Asham? Ma Asham atzmos of mutarin, afkal atzmos of mutarin. Just like the bones of a carbon Asham, after your makravit, you're allowed to make kalim out of those bones, do whatever you want with them, so you can make bone china or whatever. So to a carbon ola, even though it's entirely burnt on the Mizbeach, the atzmos, the bones, are mutar. Rashi explains b'shem rabosav, because the basar of the Asham is eaten by Kohanim, and the mitzvah srefa is because of nosar, is not shaykh to bones, because nosar is only shaykh to things that were ne'echal, and bones are never ne'echal. So that's what Rashi quotes. Rashi asks on this, then why do I need to learn Ola from Asham? By Chatas, the Atzamos are mutter, and we can learn Ola from Chatas. So Tos suggests that we don't want to learn from Chatas, because from the Hekesh to Chatas we already learn another din. But from Asham, there's no other din that we learn. So therefore, this din is still open to learn from Asham. So that's why Tos says that the Tana that learns from Asham, that it's most of Mutarim, must not hold the previous din that we learned from Asham about the Vlados. Meaning these are, we're now on our second round of what we're learning from each word in the Pasuk, from each carbon in the Pasuk. But if the only reason we're learning this din about the Atzamos from Asham and not from Chatas is because Chatas is a drush that's already being used, I'm already learning something else from Chatas, then this Tana must hold that I'm not learning anything else from Asham. So it rejects the drasha that we previously had about the Vlados from an Asham. That's just what it would turn out, according to Tosfos. Okay, now the Gemara gets back into more standard, Gemara conversation. Amar Rabba, pshitali, Rabba says, it's dover pasha to me, that dam chatas lamata v'dam ola l'mayla. That if dam chatas falls on a beged, and then dam ola falls on top of the chatas stain, then certainly tonal kibbutz. You need to do kibbutz, because dam chatas requires kibbutz when it goes on a beged. And the dam chatas fell there first, it's the ikker stain. But by Rabbi, here's my shayla. Dam ola lamata v'dam chatas l'mayla. What if it's the reverse? Yet the dam ola went on the beged, and then the chatas landed on the same spot where the dam ola was. So ma, do you still need kibbutz? and the two tzadim are as follows. Mishum nogeya hu vaha nogeya. Is it because the dam has to be nogeya, the beged, and in this case the dam chatas that's on the dam ola is touching the beged, and therefore it's chayiv in kibus? Or mishum balua hu valabala. Or is it that it has to be absorbed in the beged, but it's not going to absorb in the beged because the dam ola is already absorbed in the beged, and this is only on the surface of the dam chatas is only on the surface of the beged. So hadar pashta they enter in kibus. Then he ultimately came to the conclusion that it does not require kibbutz, because kibbutz is only when it is balua in the beged, not when it is on the surface of the beged. The kasha that's asked by some of the achronim, why is it that the dam chatas is considered to be nogeya the beged? It's only touching the dam ola that came into the beged first. So what the achronim say, and I think it's pasha pshat in the Gemara, is that the dam ola is absorbed in, and therefore the dam chatas is on the surface, that itaka is nogeya. And the whole suffix is only if the beged was bolea the dam, that you could say that, so you assume that once it's bolea dam, it's not going to be able to be bolea more dam, meaning it hit a saturation point where dam chatas won't be, but if a tiny drop of dam ola comes in, and then where to the point that it's not fully saturated in the beged, then dam chatas comes in where some of the dam chatas gets saturated in the beged, I guess you have to figure it out, you know, if it hit the saturation point with the dam ola alone, then there's also no shayla that it would require kibbles. So, but we pass in the end of the day that kibbutz is not required over here, right? That's what the Gemara says. We pass in that kibbutz is not required. So the question is anything required? I mean, can you just let it go, or do you have to do something about the dam chatos? So this is a machlokas achrodim. Even though it does not require kibbutz, Karanor writes, it requires gereba. You need to scrape it off. Why? What's his raya? By kli eitz, we said earlier a few davim ago that it requires gereba. There is no din kibbutz by a kli eitz, but if dam chatos splashes on a kli eitz, it requires gereba. So why should the beged be any different? It's saturated, so it's not able to absorb, but it's on the surface, just like a kli eitz. In the Zesivos HaKodesh, however, he disagrees. He says that a beged is always potter from gereba because it doesn't work on a beged. When you scrape off of a kli eitz, it will come off. When you scrape dam on a beged, it will likely just get spread around the beged more. It will be mispashet in the beged, and the chum are never mechayev gereba in a beged. What's also interesting is that the Gemara never explains how Rava came to his conclusion. Right? Rava presented two sides, and then just hadar pashta ain't doing kibbutz. Normally it's hadar pashta mi masnisa. You know, he had a raya, he had this, he had that. Nothing over here, just hadar pashta. So Rav Isser Zalman, Evan Azal, the Maisa Kavaras Parachas Lachatas, says that it's a svara, that if the chiv of kibbutz is based on nogeya, then why isn't there a chiv of kibbutz? Why does the Torah require kibbutz dafka and not gereira? It must be that the chiv of kibbutz is because of balua, and that's why you need kibbutz, and you can't just do gereira. I mean, that's also why there's no chiv kibbutz on the kli eitz, because it's not about nogeya. Dam can be nogeya kli eitz, but it can't be balua in a kli eitz. So since the whole chiv of kibbutz is only in that which can be balea, it must be a din in blia and not a din in nogeya. Now the Gemara discusses the din of a beged that requires tevila and it's stained in some way. So it's important to know a little bit of background over here. Sugya and Sukkah Davav, the Gemara tells us that in order for something to be a chatzitza on the Daraisa level, it needs to be rubo umakbid. It needs to cover the majority of the item. The chatzitza needs to cover the majority of the item and be something that a person is makbid about. Chatzitza midrabanan, one or the other. Either covers the majority or is makbid. If it's a mi with she'eino makbid, it's not even a chatzitza kol ikr. It's not a chatzitza at all. So it happens to be, the Ramah says, that we're machmir, that even something that's a mi with she'eino makbid, just to be safe, we're machmir lechatchila to try to remove it before we go to the mikvah. So a woman goes to the mikvah and she has perfectly manicured nails, with nail polish on them. It's a miut, it's eino makbid, she doesn't mind it there. If they were always this perfectly manicured, she'd be perfectly happy about that, right? But still we require her to remove that before going to the mikvah. It's a miut, she'eino makbid. If she went to the mikvah, or, you know, like that, likely we would not make her go again, depending how perfectly manicured they are. Or a woman, like Rabbi Willa told us when we learned Yechus Nida, a woman calls up, she'll use the term, a speck. I found a speck of nail polish on my nails. So a speck means that a woman's looking like this, and she could see a drop. It would not be something that she'd be embarrassed to walk out with in public, or at the end of the day, she would say, oh my gosh, I didn't realize. Like, if she had 8 fingernails painted and 2 of them not, or something like that, that would be, oh my gosh, that would be makbin, that would passel the teviva midraban, and she'd have to go back again. But a speck, it wouldn't passel the teviva. There's no get to tevilas kelim as well. I often get the shayla. I went to the kelim, told everything, I found a sticker on the bottom of the salad bowl. Now what do? I have to go back to the mikvah? It depends. Would you have removed this sticker but for the fact that there's a din of tevilas kelim? Right? If it's a mir shein makna, you'd be happy to serve with company and everything. It's a clear sticker. You don't even notice that it's there. And you would have been fine using this and without any problem. So then it's a mir shein makna. You don't require a tevila again. But if it's a if it's something that you're makbid about, then that's a chatzitza midrabanan. Now it's interesting. Every time you have a chatzitza midrabanan, it's in that direction. It's a miut hamakbid. I never heard of a case where you have the other kind of chatzitza midrabanan, something that covers the majority of the woman's body, but she's always happy having it there. It never bothers her. So that we never heard of. I thought I once had such a shayla, and I got so excited. A woman called me up, and she said that she was making a bar mitzvah for her kid, and it was the middle of winter, and she was very pale, so she went for a spray tan over her whole body, I guess. I don't know, a spray tan that covers the majority of the body. So her shayla was, could she go to the mikvah with this spray tan, 2 days post spray tan, or whatever, 3 days post spray tan, could she go to the mikvah? So I thought, ah, Yuval, this we finally have, a rubo she'eno makbid. She wishes she always looked like this, but it's a robe of the body. But it turns out, a little bit of research in terms of how spray tans work, after the first shower, there's nothing left on the surface of the skin. Everything has become part of the skin. How then does it ever go away? You shed skin over time. Our skin sheds and regenerates itself. So as your skin is shedding, that's how you're... So I thought there wasn't a shayla in the end. It was a pasha that was mutter. Because it's not even a chetzitz, it's not even a foreign substance. Okay, but given all of that, amar rav pshitli, dam al bigdol, let's say you have some dam on a beged, and the beged requires tevila, chotzitz. That is a chetzitz, you need to remove it. But the tabachu, ein chotzitz, is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. If he's a butcher and he doesn't mind blood, he always has blood on all of his begadim because that's what he does for a living. It's like good advertising when he walks around with blood on his begadim. So then it's not going to be a chatzitza because he's not makbid to remove it. Revav al bigdol, let's say you have a grease stain on your beged, right? You're not a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham is not allowed to walk out with a revav al bigdol, but a person has a grease stain on his beged, chotzitz, that's a chatzitza. But if he sells grease for a living, he sells oil or something, then it's not going to be a chatzitza because he doesn't mind having it there. Boy, Rava, dam u revav al bigdol mafu. So Rava's shayla is, what if you have both? So it says, well, what's your profession? If you're a butcher, well, then you're probably bothered by the oil. If you're an oil salesman, you're probably bothered by the blood. So he's a jack of all trades. He moonlights as a butcher and as a oil salesman. So the shayla is, do we assume that a person is not makbid about one type of chatzitza when that's his profession, but on two things he is makbid, or do we say no? Anything that's his profession, he's not makbid. The kash is, why don't you just ask him if he's makbid? You know, just say, do you mind? Does this bother you? So the answer is, and this is how we pass on the Shulchan Aruch, it's not about him. It's about the majority of people in his profession. And it's batel daito etzel das kol adam. So it's interesting, that's why this is such a great chiddush, that we look at professions. Meaning, I would have said, we look at all people. Do most people, and once we say batel daito etzel das kol adam, you would think, do most people mind blood on their beged? The answer is, yes, most butchers don't. But why would I look only at butchers? So that's the great chiddush over here. But anyway, as far as that shayla is concerned, the Gemara says teku. Now that's very interesting. Whenever we say teku, what does that mean? When you have teku on when the Gemara concludes something in a teku, what does that mean lahalacha? Does that mean lechumra or lekula? So this is a major machlokas rishonim. in the back of Masechta Shabbos, in most editions of Shas, they have Karban Asanel wrote the Klalei Harif Vaharash Rambam, I think, the Klalei Psak of the Rif, the Rush, and the Rambam. And I believe the Rif and the Rush both say, Safek Teku, whenever something is a Teku, Amit Rabbanan, it's Lukula. It follows normal dinim of Safek Rabbanan Lukula. The Rambam's Shita, I think, is that whenever something ends in a Teku, it's automatically Lukhumra. Binyan Siyam and Mitshuva explains that's what the word Teku means. The word Teku means let it stand. And that's why the Rambam Shita is that we go Lukhumra even on a Teku, on a Rabbanan, we go with Luchumra, because that's the definition of the word Teku. The Rebbe Yehuda talks about this in the Tshuva. I just discussed this in the Taman Halacha Sheher. I feel like, well, what was the topic? The Rebbe Yehuda talks about in the Tshuva about, what was the Shaila? I forgot already. That someone wanted. Oh, it was about eating leftover meat from Shabbos on Shabbos Chazon during the 9 days. So they connect this to the Gemara in Chulin, where the Gemara asks about Basar Nechira that the Jewish people had in the Midbar. Were they allowed to eat it in Eretz Yisrael? Because it was leftover, it was mut for them when they were in the Midbar. Shechit only became a thing when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara left it as a teku. So someone asked the Nadav Yehuda, the Shaila was, a guy came from a place where they were knowing lahakel with chemas akum, with butter made by a guy, and he was moving to a place where they're knowing lahachmir with chemas akum. So he had some leftover butter in his bag with him. So there was a rabbi that passed him, yeah, you're allowed to eat it, because Gemara leaves that as a teku. The whole Israel of chemas akum at most is a derabbanan, a teku derabbanan lakula. So the Shaul, the Nadav Yehuda, got very upset at that psak. He said, what do you mean? It's a teku. Teku's on the chumra. So the Nadav Yehuda said, well, you haven't discovered a miracle here. This isn't a new discussion. This goes way back to the times of the Rishonim, and it's a big debate whether teku is the chumra or the kula on a din to rabbanan. So it's not so pashut one way or the other whether teku is the chumra or the kula. That's subject to a machlokas, to a general machlokas Rishonim. Just another point over here, just to highlight the mitzvah of tevila b'mikvah is that a person is supposed to be tovel kol gufo b'mayim one time. There are all sorts of minhagim about being tovel many times in a mikvah. If a person wants to be tovel many times, so some people, but that's all minhag. That's not mitzvah. The mitzvah is one time. I have a chaver who's a chassidish yid who before Yom Kippur he went to the Ariz mikvah and he toveled 613 times. That was his thing. So how did he do it? He had a finger and he just a finger out of the water, in the water, out of the water, in the water, right, as many times as he could until he ran out of breath. 613 times. And the other people that were around asked the chaver that was with him, who normally? He said, lo, who lo normally? They just wouldn't even explain. Okay, but the mitzvah, the din of tevilah is to be tovel one time, kol gufo b'mayim. The Shulchan Aruch paskens this in Yordea Kuf Tzadiches when we talk about tevilas isha. So just like, and we have a similar din, Nitilas Yadayim has the same dinim of Chatzitza. Miut she'ina makbid, miut ha-makbid. That's why the halach is in Hilchos Nitilas Yadayim, that if a woman has a ring on her finger that she never ever takes off of her finger, she never removes it. So that would be called a miut she'ina makbid. So strictly speaking, that would not be chotzi, it's for Nitilas Yadayim, right? But we'd be able to be able to say Nitilas Yadayim with that. If she sometimes removes it, though, the Mechab Paskins, what it means sometimes, when she needs dough, she removes it. So then it would be a miyut hamakbid, because eno makbid means she never minds having it there. So this is nogea to hilchos netilas yadayim as well. So in our sugya we talk about the tabach with the blood on his clothing and the suffix of rava, and it leaves it as a teku. So says the Magen Avraham in Simkov Samachal Sukkot Zayin, since when it comes to tevila of the beggar, the Gemara leaves it as a suffix, when it comes to tevila saguf and netila sidayim l'su'uda, l'chorah it's also a suffix. So a person, let's say, has two jobs, and therefore he has two kinds of stains on his hands. A butcher, nursery teacher, has paint and blood on their hands. So b'netil sidayim is a mitzvah midrabanan, we would go l'kula. But by tevila, which is min haTorah, we'd have to go l'chumra, l'chora. So in the Alachos Ketanos, in the Chelek Aleph Simchav, writes that dam al yodav of a moel is not chotzeitz. He deals with blood. He's a moel. It's not chotzeitz. Chavivus hamitzvah. So he's not makbid about it. He's not disgusted by the blood. A sense of chavivus hamitzvah. So the Shvos Yaakov disagrees and with the Alachos Ketanos, And because it sounds from the Gemara that Dam Yavesh on the Kohanim is a chatzitza between their feet and the Ritzvah Sazana, even though it's a Shevach Lebnei Aaron that they go out Adak Vusayim B'dam, that they're walking knee deep in blood on Erev Pesach, the Mishnah tells them Mesechus Pesachim, it's only because the Dam is Lach that it's Eino Chotzitz. That's what the Gemara says. So even though in our Sugi it sounds like Dam Alabeged of the Tabach is not Chotzitz, and that sounds like even if it's dry, that's only when the Dam is on a Beged. But when the Dam is on a Guf, that's disgusting to most people. Even a butcher doesn't want the dam on his guf, and therefore the dam would be chotzeitz. Nafshu shaladam katzabo. And the Shulchan Aruch, when it says in Kuf Samachal, Sif Beis, that if you have paint on your hands, it's not going to be a chatzitza. If you're a painter, that's because people are not disgusted by paint. So says the Shvus Yaakov. So says the Shvus Yaakov. Now the Sidri Tari, he suggests that la halacha, if there's a chatzitza on rov haguf, even though you're not makbid, it's a chatzitza midrabanan. If there's a chatzitza on kol haguf, though, it's different than rov haguf. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Ches tells us that even though you're not makbid, it's a chatzitza min haTorah when it's on kol haguf. So he argues the same is true with Netilas Yadayim. Since it's, we look at the yad alone, right? If the entire hand is covered in chatzitza, that's chatzitza midoraisa. So we look at it as if it's kol haguf. So you can't have a chatzitza on kol hayad or even on rov hayad. By the kohen, it has to stand directly on the ritzvah without any chatzitza. The regel is viewed; it's got to be raglav al ritzvah. So we look at the majority of the regel. So if there's a chatzitza berov haregel, it's a chatzitza midrabban. If there's a chatzitza bekol haregel, it's a chatzitza min haTorah. So that's what the Gemara says, that dam is lach zeino chotzitz. Why didn't the Gemara just say it's zeino chotzitz? Because he's not makbid. Ooh, so that's the answer of the Sidri Tara. You can't say that it's not chotzitz, it's not makbid, because when they were walking on blood in the Ritzvah Sazara, their entire foot was walking on blood. If it's the entire foot, that's chatzitza midaraisa. Saying a makbid doesn't help when it's kol. So the assumption is that the bottom of the foot is all we're looking at. We're not looking at the entire limb of the foot. We're just looking at the bottom of the foot. That's one teretz, one ingenious teretz the Sidri Tara suggests. Another teretz Sidri Tara suggests in Simkov Tzadik Hes is that even if you say that the regel is considered only a miut haguf, if he's not makbid, it's not a chatzitza. But what a kohen is not makbid about doesn't help about dam that's on his foot. It only helps for dam that's on his foot, but it does not help for the dam that's on the Ritzvah Sa'azara, meaning it's still a chatzitza for the Ritzvah Sa'azara. So it's as if he's standing on kelim, where he's not standing directly on the Ritzvah Sa'azara. So that's what he suggests to justify why it is that the Gemara needs to tell me that the only reason it's not a chatzitza is lach, and we don't say it's not a chatzitza because it's a shevach for him to have dam, and therefore it's considered eino makbid. But these are levitic topics. What's considered a chatzitza? What's not considered a chatzitza? Very nogeya halacha lemaisa. Okay, next time we'll pick up with the next paragraph.